The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. The angel Gabriel was sent from God to a town of Galilee called Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man named Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And coming to her, he said, "Hail, full of grace, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at what was said, and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of David his father. And he will rule over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." But Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I have no relations with a man?" And the angel said to her in reply, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the Son to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month for her who is called barren, for nothing will be impossible for God." Mary said, "Behold, I am the handmaid of the Lord. May it be done to me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her. The Gospel of the Lord. During each church year, we review the history of salvation. We go through the same story year after year, different readings, but the same story. And we hear it again and again because we need to remember it. We need to be reminded of it. We need to know what we believe so that we can grow in our faith and also share it with others. And for all Christians, we're supposed to know the basic steps of this story. It's called the kerygma. That's the basic proclamation of the faith. It's very simple, but every Catholic should be able to run it off. 1, 2, 3, 4. I'm going to go over it with you. Number one, God created the world. It was good. Adam and Eve sinned and were expelled from paradise. That's number one, the fall. Number two, God tried to lead the people back to him by sending them the patriarchs, by sending them people like Moses, the judges, the prophets, the kings like David, who we hear about in the first reading today. It didn't work. So that's the second part. God sent all these people to lead the people, but they still fell into sin. Finally, third part, this is key, God himself became a human being, and we're going to be celebrating the first part of that, at Christmas, the incarnation. God became a human being, became a slave to all of us, suffered, died, rose from the dead to defeat the power of sin and death and to reopen the gates of paradise. So that's number three. The fourth part is, okay, now that you know all that, what's your response to God? How do you want to relate to God because of that? And the hope is that we're so grateful that we give our lives to God. We get to know him more and more through prayer, through the sacraments, so that we become great disciples, people like St. Paul or St. Peter, all the saints of history. We're all called to be saints, on fire with that faith, that story of faith, on fire with our relationship with God, so that we go forth and make other disciples. Or to put it more bluntly, to bring in people into the church, to make converts. That's our job. That's what we're called to do. So we need to know that story. And as I say, in four easy parts, we can tell that story. When someone comes up to you and says, "What do you believe as a Christian?" We can say, well, number one, number two, number three, and then number four, this is how I am grateful to God, and this is what I'm doing because I am grateful to God. I'm willing to give my life for my neighbors so that they too can know the goodness of God. So we hear that story year after year, and we could look at the two testaments in this way. The Old Testament is, let's say, the testament of promise, because throughout the Old Testament, we're learning about God, we're learning about his ultimate promise, which is about fulfillment, the fulfillment of all God's plans for all of humankind. So that's the promise of fulfillment, the testament of promise in the Old Testament. The New Testament would be the testament of fulfillment. This is where we read about how God fulfilled his promises, which we read about in the Old Testament. So we're living out of the victory of Christ, which is contained in that testament of fulfillment. And right there, too, we need to be reading the Bible so that we know all the stories. So we can talk about the healings of Christ, about his time after time going into a desert to pray, to just be quiet with his Father and to enjoy that relationship, all those things that we're supposed to be doing, too, as disciples of the Lord. So in today's reading in particular from the Old Testament, we have the wonderful story of David. Now, it's interesting. Here's a character who, if you wanted to put one over on people to get them to believe, you wouldn't put David in there because he was a murderer. David was a murderer. And he admitted it, and he asked God for forgiveness, and he was forgiven. But he was a murderer. And that just kind of shows the truth of the Old Testament and the New Testament, that God's working with people who fall into sin, and yet God does forgive them when they ask for forgiveness. So here's David. He has secured his kingdom. He's living in peace, and he's living in a palace. And he says, why should the Lord continue to live in a tent as the temple when I'm living in this palace of cedar? So he says to the prophet, I'm going to build a temple. Well, of course, God says, no, you're not going to build it. Your son's going to build it. But the idea here is that in the Old Testament, the temple in Jerusalem was the dwelling place of the Most High on earth. Not that he was limited to that temple, but if you wanted to see him, talk to him, not face-to-face, there was a veil, you really couldn't go into the Holy of Holies, but if you really wanted to have a good conversation with God, you would go to the temple. And throughout the early history of Israel, at least, there was a temple up to just after the time of Christ when it was destroyed. It was very beautiful. I mean, they spared no expenses in terms of beautifying it. So it was a grand, grand temple, because the people said, this is what God deserves, and this is where we're going to meet the Lord. Now we fast forward to the New Testament, and it's a totally different story. Again, if you wanted to put one over people, I don't think any of us would have written the story of salvation in quite this way. Because what's the, let's say, the early temple for God in the New Testament? It's Mary. It's Mary, her womb. That's the new temple, or people refer to it as the Ark of the Covenant, the new Ark of the Covenant. So here we have the Almighty God taking the form of a child, becoming a child, and in the womb of an ordinary woman, not some big palace. And then when he was born, what was the temple he was in? It was a stable. A stable. I mean, what a contrast between the temple in Jerusalem, which was standing at the time of Jesus' birth, which Herod the Great had rebuilt and made very beautiful, spared no expense in it. And here it is, God not dwelling in this temple anymore, but dwelling in this stable, being put in a manger, and then going back to Nazareth and working side by side with his father, Saint Joseph, to learn a trade, and then he went off on his own. What a contrast. And of course, that was one of the problems with getting people to believe that Jesus was the Messiah. They saw a human being. Yes, he worked miracles. He raised people from the dead. He fed thousands of people. But they were doing that in the Old Testament too. People are still doing that today. So it wasn't something that only God did, but it didn't quite stand out for a lot of people. And yet there were people who saw beyond that and saw that indeed this is more than just a human being. And so they came to believe. And so we have the apostles who had their doubts, their concerns, and yet ultimately most of them gave their lives for this faith. So we have this contrast between the testament of promise and the testament of fulfillment. And it's mind-boggling, really, because it really goes against what, let's say, some superhero story that we would write or would want to write about God. But God comes to us in the form of a child, comes to us in the form of a man. And ultimately, the temple in Jerusalem is replaced, as I say, with the temple of Mary, the temple of the manger. And here's the crucial thing, which we, as we celebrate Christmas, we're supposed to remember. We also are temples of Christ. We are temples of God. Think of that. This beautiful, beautiful, you can go online and look at some renditions of what the temple looked like during the time of Solomon or during the time of Herod the Great. Magnificent porticos, marble, beautiful floors, gold, jewels, everything beautiful. And then here we are, because God so loved us, giving us his son to redeem us, that now we get to be temples of God. And we are built by the hands of God, not by any other human being, but by God himself, so that we carry God around in us. And of course, it's even truer when you think of how we receive the very flesh and blood of God. Yes, we have baptism, confirmation, etc. But when we receive the flesh and blood of God, it becomes part of our flesh and blood. So indeed, we become like that tabernacle. We become like a monstrance. We become temples of God. So the whole story of salvation is not just about God and what God did to make up for our failings. It's also an invitation from God to say, you were made in a spectacular, extraordinary, unique way, so go forth and live as an amazing person, as a spectacular creature, child of God. Go forth and let people see that. So we certainly enjoy a good party. We enjoy celebrating Christmas. We think of all the joy, greeting people. This year, obviously, is a little bit different. But with people, we celebrate. Do we celebrate our faith in that same way? Would people know we are joyful Christians because of the love of God? Would they know what we truly believe through our actions and our words? When we go out into the world, do we keep thinking, I'm a temple of God? This is what a temple of God says. This is what a temple of God does. And then to tell people the story of salvation. So it's a spectacular story. Again, it doesn't make sense if you think, you know, God the Almighty, why would he become a child? Why would he allow people to strip off his clothes and nail him to a cross? It doesn't make sense in from human terms, but that's the way God did it. And God invites all of us into that creation or maybe recreation through Christ to remember that we are temples, so that when we celebrate Christmas, we're not just celebrating the fact that God became a human being, but also that we, through the gift of the Holy Spirit, can give birth to Jesus Christ every moment of our lives. We are pregnant with the Word of God, and as temples of the Holy Spirit, of God himself, we can give God again and again and again to other people. So we have an extraordinary call, an inheritance that is given to us. And so all these holidays, these holy days, whether it's Christmas or Easter, celebrating the feast of a saint, we're supposed to remember this is about God, what God has done, what he started, what he's continuing, but it's also about me. It's about you. It's about what God has called you to be a part of this story of salvation. So that at the end of time, and hopefully we'll be with the Lord, when that story is told, our name will come up as part of the story of salvation. So again, here we are, the last week of Advent, preparing for the great feast of the Incarnation, let's remember it's not just about God and what God has done for us, but also what God has done for us and what he invites us to be temples of his presence in the world, to give birth to him in our words and deeds, and to tell, just as the wise men and the shepherds did, tell the story of the spectacular event, the story of salvation, so that other people too can come to see, yeah, my destiny is to be a temple of God. My destiny is to be the bearer of Christ. And so, God, thank you, and I accept that gift and that invitation. That's our call, to remember those things, to live those calls from God, so that other people too can come to the Lord and be part of that story of salvation.